Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Kids today get a steady diet of video and computer games, and because most parents don't play these games themselves, they often don't know just what some of the games expose their children to.
Go on then.
Good morning, video games.
Include all of that, please.
To Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and joining me as always...
Ben Vanel here. This might be the first episode where we've all spoken during the intro.
Yeah.
It's usually just T. Daslow, but...
I didn't say anything. I cut it out. It just sounded like Tommy was fucking weird.
Chortled, though. You were chortling away.
Did I?
Yeah, you chortled.
That's nice that I can laugh even without knowing. What a joyous little boy. My name is Adam Knox. Yeah, I press record somewhere in the middle of it, so I don't know how much sense it'll make.
Okay. Great.
But everyone will be on the same page that something happened.
That always happens, though. We always sit down in the room with our mics, and then you just hit record at some random point.
I try to get you.
Yeah,
I try
to
wait until you're talking about your personal bank details.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to put them out there.
Yeah. Sometimes I actually think most of the time, Tommy happens to be doing the intro, which is really lucky.
It's strange when... in social settings,
because
Tommy does it, but it works here.
Yeah.
Well, no, but that's my PIN number, is good morning video games.
Standing at the bank for an hour and a half trying to put your PIN number into the thing.
Yeah, everything else is a password.
Right.
The bank's the only thing that's still using just straight up numbers. Mm. Get the little pin pad out of there. Chuck a full keyboard on the ATM.
Yes.
I'm click clacking away.
Honestly, I would find a way to go off the grid if I had to remember and type out like exclamation mark, six capital letters.
Yeah.
Make sure you've got a riddle in there.
And leaning into I assume like an iPad keyboard, and like either you do the single finger typing or you like hunch over a tiny iPad
because you're
keypad.
Having to
a
use your other hand to like cover so people any little cameras that are hidden there can't see what you're.
That's
password
right.
is.
Big weird yellow stains all over the screen because
can you imagine how filthy that thing would be?
Ugh.
I'm doing it right now.
It'd be so easy to hack as well. I banks take note. Don't integrate this new method.
Yeah.
Banks take note and coin.
Do they these days?
It's these hard to days. Get them to. I went to a bank to try and exchange some European money.
Oh yeah,
here we go.
Some Scottish money.
Mm-hmm. Not euro bucks.
No, pounds sterling.
Mm.
And because Scottish money looks different to English money, but they're both pounds. They just have different pictures on them.
Right.
Mm.
They were so confused, and he was separating them into two different piles. And I was like, "You don't need. They're all just pounds."
Yeah.
He's like, "Well, this one's pounds sterling." And like, mate, you work at a bank.
Yeah.
I work at nothing.
Right.
How do I know what that money is? And then he wouldn't take the coins out, a big sack of coins.
Oh, no.
Big dollar symbol on them.
You
I was wearing my Hamburglar outfit.
Beat him to death with a sack of coins.
They've already thought of it. They've got big glass barriers between us.
Brutal.
In fairness, they're the same value. They're worth the same amount.
They're the same currency.
They're the same currency.
100%.
But they've got a different name and different pictures.
Yeah.
They don't have a different name.
Oh.
British pounds are called pounds sterling too. It's all pounds sterling.
So they just have different
You
pictures
work at a bank!
You little bank bitch.
They just have different pictures on them.
Yeah, but because of like Scottish
That's crazy.
Stuff, the Scottish ones. It's like Robert the Bruce and whatever in Scotland.
Yeah.
They've got like a spider on one of them, which I hate.
Oh.
And, you know, Scottish stuff.
Okay. William Wallace, is he on one?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I there's one of the worst drawn pictures of, I think, Robert the Bruce on the £20 note.
Hell yeah.
That looks really goofy. And I genuinely think, like, blindfolded with no hands, teeth only, I could have drawn a better one.
Fuck.
Wow.
It's not true, but I think it.
Yeah.
So don't put me down about it.
We gotta get you to do this after we record.
Go back to the bank?
Blindfold.
Oh.
Yeah.
pen in mouth.
Yeah.
Do a drawing of this cunny.
I'm thinking of robbing a bank. Because I was watching a... We should say, by the way, you got a bit of hay fever today.
Yeah, I probably sound a bit bad. And I'm starting. My eyes are starting to like flood.
You can't tears. Come to the bank robbery because that's too identifiable.
True. I could be the getaway driver.
Well.
You could be the distraction. Ben walks into the bank. Oh, my hay fever's playing up.
That's very good.
Has anyone got a
No one's going to do anything about that. Yeah. Everyone rushing over like, quick, call an ambulance.
One of the like two people who still work in physical banks.
Yeah.
Oh, I want a home loan and I've got hay fever.
Is there any Telfast out the back?
Yeah.
There, I saw a guy who like used to be a bank robber.
Okay.
A video of him talking about how he used to rob banks. And he just woke up with a note that said, give me money. And he wouldn't say anything. And they'd just do it.
Right.
And, wow. and here was his trick, right? Here's why I reckon we could get away with it.
Okay.
He'd walk in there with a motorcycle helmet.
Yep.
But... he would leave in a car and the police would just not think of the possibility that maybe he didn't ride a motorbike to the bank.
There's something about this, like this guy just publicly saying this now.
Yeah.
That's like...
he's done his time.
He's done his time, but surely other bank robbers have...
young men like
organically
us.
Organically thought of this themselves, right? And it's a bit like, the Masked Magician where he would go on TV and be like, here's how they do all the tricks. And anyone who's still practicing in that field, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's a good scam. I mean,
it's an industry secret, yeah.
I'm sure that if he's at the point where he's spent years in prison, I assume... rehabilitated. I don't think his goal is to facilitate more bank robberies for the young up-and-comers.
Then he should keep his damn mouth shut.
I agree, yeah.
Also, he was a very handsome British man who would never speak because of his accent. He was in America robbing these banks.
Oh.
Interesting.
I never really thought about this, but the reason it's so dangerous to rob a bank, we'll talk about this when Crime City, Rock A City...
I think it's out, isn't it?
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Payday, Payday 2's out.
But, it makes sense. I just never thought about the banks are insured by the government, so that's why the government is fucking after you because it's literally their money.
It would be scary. Right, though. It would be.
I'd be nervous every day for the rest of my life.
Just knowing in that moment what happens when you hand the note over. Here's what we could do: we go in and we just do the note.
Yep. Listen to Filthy Casuals.
We just give over the note. Give me some money.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We just kind of see what happens, and then we just get to experience that rush. And then we've got a second note ready to go that just says, just kidding.
Yeah.
So it's like we're up in court and we're like, but we weren't. We just wanted that like 10 seconds where we lived in that moment and we got to know what it would feel like.
That's what you can do, Ben. You can be outside the bank holding your phone up so that if someone comes to arrest us, you can be like, it's a prank. We're recording it for TikTok.
Perfect. Perfect.
And have on the note backwards S's and stuff like that so they think that we're children robbing the bank.
So they don't
know to look for adults driving.
And we'll be
a car.
On our knee. We'll have our shoes kind of on our knees.
Yeah.
And we'll have. Low to the ground.
We'll keep saying, I love Toyotas when we drive away in our Honda.
Yeah.
We'll get them. Oh, yeah. I hate robbing banks. We're looking for people who aren't bank robbers.
Oh, yeah. You're in like the Ford racing jacket and then you just.
I'll
in
have
a different
three,
car.
Three horses tied up outside and then we just walk away, maybe.
Ride away on cows.
Oh, yes.
They won't know what hit them.
Imagine riding a cow. No one's done it before.
Yeah, the first person to ride a cow around, what were they thinking, you know?
Where's the milk?
Well, you always see those people trying to ride bulls, and they never do. That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
I wonder if cows are like the more mature.
the more bovine. Sedate. Yeah.
Well, speaking of riding things away, I'll tell you something that is galloping off into the distance.
Yes.
The release of Suicide Squad killed the Justice League.
Yeah, talk about some absolute bull.
Talk about daylight robbery.
Oh.
How about
an utter
failure.
Talk about needing a distraction. Yeah.
Talk about not going to the bank.
What happened? They released a gameplay trailer and it was roundly shit upon by us and others
for
looking
Ruby Innes.
Yes. That's it. Just the four
that's
of
it.
Us.
That's it. This is four of us. Everyone else
but
loved
a big
it.
Effect.
Yeah, huge, huge influence.
It does seem... They said... I think they put out a generic, like, more polish or whatever type of thing.
Well, they said, like, we saw your response and, yeah. Like, it's genuinely in response to the response.
But what can they do at this
stage? That's like, it, right? Yeah. It's like, just get it out. Unless your solution is to not make it a floaty,
Fortnite-esque
Warframe
clone.
Thing.
It's... Suicide Squad is a temporary solution to a permanent problem. Yeah. It's the reverse of what they say about suicide is what I've done there. You've never had someone tell you that before?
No.
Well, congratulations on your happy life. But yeah, like they haven't set a new date. They've said later this year, I think, broadly.
Yep. Indefinitely delayed, I guess, is yeah.
But May was the original, I think, May or April. And they did say this year, but you'd assume if it is, you know, well, they've said it, that it is being delayed to alter it due to the response and the negativity around, particularly the microtransaction stuff.
Yeah.
They could relatively simply, I suppose, take that stuff out. I mean, it's not simple in terms of they've got monetization and budget plans and projections and all that
100%,
stuff. That would be massively altered, but also possibly not for, like, not in a negative way. That stuff, if they project, hey, we can get goodwill back from saying we heard you, we took it all out, maybe they would make more money.
Yeah.
I don't suspect that they will, but maybe they would make more money from the good reception of a... They've got to have looked at, like, Hogwarts that came out, which is, like, single-player game, and a large part of the reason that did so well is because people do like when that big budget, sort of accessible, broad... single player game comes out
in a recognizable IP, you know, like people have always enjoyed the Arkham games because they're specifically like well done superhero worlds, and it looks like they fucking took a huge swing and a big old miss with the actual gameplay of this
game. So that's the other aspect where the negative response before that trailer came out was to that leak of the microtransaction stuff and all of the
battle passy shit
that comes around that.
Yeah.
But then after that gameplay trailer was shown, maybe because people were already a little primed, but I don't think this was me. Like, it just didn't look like fun. It looked floaty and it looked like, this isn't the sort of game that we want from the follow up to the Arkham series.
This could be anything. This looks like it should have just generic, like, boilerplate character design flossing at the end of a match. Like, this doesn't look like it's using the IP in any meaningful way.
Sort of weak looking guns, floaty looking jumps.
Every character like played the same way as well, which was like, okay, you've misunderstood the appeal of the Suicide Squad, right? It's a bunch of weirdly different characters.
I feel very torn about this because on the one hand, I don't really want to live in a world where every person in their desk chair just goes, yeah, if I kick up a stink about this on Twitter, I'll get them to change it.
Agreed, because people are very often wrong, especially when it comes to things that are art.
Like, and that's what's wrong with most discourse about art on the internet, is everyone thinking that, oh, just squeal about it and then that'll get it all changed. But then there have been a couple of things lately. The Sonic movie is the other big example where they bring out that first trailer and everyone goes, what the hell is this? Yeah. And then they fix it and they make him look more cartoony and cute. And it's like, yes.
I think it makes
people on mass will ride in this because that's just what he should have looked like to begin with. And like maybe they will be able to change this enough. Who knows?
It makes a lot of sense to me that like the sorts of things like Sonic and like this that are when people's problem is that it's designed by committee, it makes sense that their solution is then also to fix with a larger committee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And their feedback. And like if this was being made by people who had more of a vision, they'd go like, no, we know what we're doing. Leave us alone.
Yep.
But that is obviously not happening here because this seems to be a money first game.
Yeah,
and they want to hit
which none of the others are. It's very funny that the Suicide Squad, they've made them so generic that now they are similar to the type of people who in real life would call themselves a squad.
Yeah.
This is all wearing similar boat shoes.
Yeah.
But
a nominal leader. Yeah, it's
it must have been, it must be pretty far along if it was out pretty soon, right?
Absolutely.
A couple of months away.
So, and to it be indefinite is like, maybe this will be like another year, but that ended up being a good thing for Halo. You know, they didn't get the hottest response from that. Like, so it is annoying that there are enough of these examples recently of like, the big amorphous blob that is internet feedback was kind of correct.
Right.
But I do think it then starts a dangerous precedent of like, we're going to start a petition to get Abby taken out of The Last of Us 2 or like whatever it is.
Halo was very different to me though, where a lot of the feedback for that, like the gameplay in that trailer that people didn't like looked exactly the same as the game that shipped.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a visual thing around that. And so there's nothing they can do to address the... And we don't know how it feels. We haven't played it. So maybe it's better. It doesn't present well and it's better.
Yeah,
right. It looks or whatever. But like...
It's a grower, not a shower.
It's to, the perfect type. But like, they can't make... In any span of time, because this has been in production for years already, in any realistic span of time, they can't make the changes to that stuff that they would need to. So it's got to be they're thinking, well, we'll get rid of the Battle Pass stuff or...
Yeah.
Or maybe cynically, wait until this dies down, have a second crack at it.
Yeah, do
barely anything. Not worry about the big long rollout where, where you're hyping up these events where you're going to show off 20 minutes of gameplay and just really... This has turned into one of those things where it feels like we've been hearing about this for such a long time.
Yeah.
You know, one of those ones where you're like, I'm starting to think this game is just never going to come out. I feel like every 6 months it's like, new trailer, new...
It's like Gollum. Gollum's the other one that I feel like has been coming along for ages, and I think they put another trailer for that out recently, but who cares?
Who cares?
They're in the position where... I think people were excited for Suicide Squad at one point.
Totally.
For all those reasons you said, New Arkham, etc.
Yep.
But Gollum is like, from no feedback can harm them at this point, because from day one people have been going, what is this? Why does it exist? Why does it look so bad? Whose pet project is this? Maybe it'll end up being fine, but I do not care.
Right.
Like, just anything people are saying about it, like, doesn't bother us. We'll just get to surprise people when it comes out and is maybe good.
Yeah,
we're expanding the world of the one character in The Lord of the Rings who had nothing more to offer. We know everything that he was up to the whole time.
Yep.
Like, I get that he was sneaking around in Mordor. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Tolkien, who made this game.
The guy who died at the end of the movies... Spoiler alert. There's no expansion.
That was really confusing to me because I've never thought of Gollum as a guy before.
Yeah, a little
he is
bloke.
A guy. He's a little guy.
He is like a little guy. A little guy. Yeah.
A little fella.
He used to be a guy called Smeagol.
There was another, just really quickly, we didn't mention this last week, I don't think, because we talked about how they were doing that Starfield presentation in June.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's an Xbox General one just before it too. They announced not long after
that. All right.
So roughly the same format as when E3 was where they were.
Yeah. And I think Xbox confirmed this week that no E3 for Xbox.
Yeah.
Sony already had, and
and Nintendo hasn't been there for a while, I guess.
Yeah,
but but at least Microsoft is doing the same press stuff. Around that time. So I would also assume that Sony and Nintendo probably will. Same as recently where Sony does like a smaller thing than they would have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Nintendo a direct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mentioning Starfield got me thinking about Star Citizen, because I read today that they've like shipped a big update and it's like broken the game basically.
Oh, nice.
Which is, talk about a game that's been meant to come out for a long time. What's it been, like 15 years or something? It's been in like a Kickstarter.
It's been like... probably coming up on 10.
Yeah.
7 or 8 at least, I would guess. And breaking a game that if I were a crazy person, I could have $20,000 or whatever invested in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing is, a scam?
Yeah, I think it's a scam. I mean, you can play
it. It's a game.
It.
You can play it.
You can
it,
play
yeah.
it. Yeah, I've played it. There was like a free weekend a year or two ago, and I was like, oh, cool. I'm walking around a big space station. This is cool, but...
it just doesn't make sense. There's been so many... because it was one of the early access games too.
Yeah.
So back then I remember it being kind of like, oh, what even is an early access game?
Sure.
Oh, I don't understand. Laying in the fetal position. But like...
maybe you'll understand.
I'm so angry about it.
It didn't seem clear for a long time of that game existing what the time scale of an early access game should be.
Mm.
And now it's like, oh, it should be 2 years.
Right.
Or something.
It should be one year maybe. But crazy. Anyway, you guys can come visit my $250 ships that I've bought. You can come walk around them. They don't fly.
Yeah.
You can certainly have a look at them in Star Citizen.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, me either.
Damn.
But I'll tell you what, if I was to do some walking around.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yes.
You know what would be helpful?
Legs. If you're walking. You can get around without them, but like you specifically said walking is why
I guess
up
they
it.
Are yeah. the main bit. Yeah, but let's say I'm walking like a long distance. I'm in the streets.
Map.
I'm exposed to the elements.
Water.
Your maps. Sunscreen.
Sunscreen.
So, protective headwear.
Yeah, no, that's all good. I'm thinking more lower region.
Feet. You didn't mention feet.
Cock ring.
Okay, what's going on the feet? A cock ring. You're absolutely right.
A toe ring.
No, a pair of little boots.
Okay.
For my tiny, tiny little feet.
Well, if you're going to wear them, at least make them look so stupid.
Yeah.
You know who's got stupid shoes? That plumber I know. Steve. He's a fucking fashionless idiot. Mario.
I guess relative to his overall proportion, they're actually pretty cool shoes.
I think they look cool in real life personally too. I'm playing around. They showed... So.
Big announcement from Nintendo in anticipation.
Well, Illumination, right? I don't know if this
Illumination
was a...
X Nintendo, or at least X Super Mario.
Yeah. X Red Wing shoes
got
together to make a replica of Mario's little boots. Specifically from the movie.
I was going
to
say,
Yeah.
When I saw them unveiled and I filmed my reaction video to it.
Yeah, after you'd finished crying.
After I'd, wiped off the tears and the cum. I was like, is that what his shoes look like? I thought they were just like little black shoes or something.
No, they're weird little boots. Round brown boots.
He's got little boots.
I mean, he's a round little guy anyway, so they look right on him. But yeah, in real life, they made some real Mario shoes, released them in a very weirdly ceremonious fashion.
Oh, okay, I can wear replicas of Mario's shoes, but they've molded them to his actual proportions. Well, that's still like a neat little knick-knack that I could, I'm a collector.
Right.
I love the Mario games and all the Mario canon. I could just have them sitting on my desk. They're kind of like a cool little knick-knack.
You'd be wrong again.
These are one of one.
Yeah.
Two of two. One of each.
One pair of one, I'll accept that.
A left and a right.
On March 10th, which is Mario Day.
Yes.
Which reminded me of how crazy it is they didn't release the movie on that date.
Absolutely.
But they did release these shoes in, the New York Nintendo store.
Big public unveiling. It's at Rockefeller Center.
Like a square, one of those glass display cases, very fancy looking with a veil over it.
That usually a giant diamond would be under.
Right, some Cartier necklace that's Cleopatra used to have this. It's like, should you be doing this?
I mean, this could have been not bank robbery, but this could have been the heist that we're involved in.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
We break
in,
they pull the curtain off, and there's just nothing in there.
Phantom Thieves style.
Your shoes are in another castle.
The smooth, Thomas Crown Affair transition into new clothes, but you come out wearing the Mario shoes.
You barely walk because your feet are crunched in.
Oh, yeah. Try catching me now, coppers. You try to jump away, but you're still a human being.
Hey, you're wearing a fake mustache. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You look like the guy.
Yeah.
No. Listen to my voice. It sounds nothing like Mario. I'm Chris Pratt. But they had a countdown. All these people stand around there with 3, 2, 1, and the cheer that erupts when they pull
all
out
of this,
these shoes.
All of this is just so fascinating.
That is what they look like.
This kind of brand activation collab stuff, I just love. You can tell that the person who pitched this, in their head, they were like, I'm such an idiot for even saying this out loud, but I'm just trying to make myself feel vital at the company.
Yep.
Or they were
get shot down. We'll have a good laugh about it, imagine if. And then all of a sudden,
this will make the boardroom laugh.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're just there. And it just turns into so much work for them where they're like, why didn't I keep my damn mouth shut? Why didn't we make one of the gloves? that looks a little cooler, visually, a little glove sitting there. Or the hat. Make the hat.
Yeah, make the hat.
I suppose if it came from the shoe company, that's why they didn't make the gloves or the hat.
That's it.
Well,
that's
I reckon
they probably pitched it to a bunch of companies, right? And Red Wing were like,
I bet they did it with Sonic.
Yeah.
Because he's got recognizable shoes.
That's true.
Yes.
Sonic shoes before I wore Mario's.
Did they not do it with Sonic shoes? I feel like there was an Adidas collab or something.
There were some blue shoes, I think. I think they might have
You're thinking
been...
of Elvis Presley.
No, because he ain't no friend of mine. But I remember some Sonic colored themed normal looking sneakers. But
yeah, I know.
They
there was maybe Puma
times.
Or something did a collab or something. But that wasn't here is a one of one Sonic
true.
Shoe. So the whole thing of this being presented is that we're meant to believe that this is literally Mario's shoe.
Sure.
That's the reason they've only made one of these is these are.
Yeah.
These are the ones that the little man himself wears.
I didn't pick up on that aspect of it. I didn't understand that there was some you know, hey, Santa's here, kids.
Yeah. I kind of think that's what it's going for, yeah, with the one of one. Otherwise, you would think if they made like a limited, you know, well, even only just like a few hundred of these, there would be enough people who would be interested in them as an ornamental thing, even though you could never wear them.
Yeah,
100%. Even if you just sold them to the idiots scalping them,
no one actually
wanted them, you'd sell every pair.
Yeah.
So what sneakers, I've never understood the sneaker thing. I like the look of some shoes, but
lining up down the block for sneakers is bonkers.
It's incredibly hypocritical of me when I do it for Red Dead Redemption or whatever. Sure. So like,
I mean, we all jumped on like the PS5 day one as well. You know, like
What I want to know is, so okay, this currently these shoes, they're in the little glass case in the Nintendo store in New York. You'd presume, yeah, they'll be there for a little bit, like, you know, while the movie's in cinemas and stuff.
Until the deal with Red Wing expires.
Well, that's what I want to know. What's, are these shoes just staying in the Nintendo store in perpetuity, or is it going to, you know, what happens What happens to these shoes long term?
Put them in the Smithsonian, right? Surely.
That's what you do. When the new Indiana Jones comes out, you have a cross collab where someone dressed as Indy goes, they should be in a museum.
Oh.
And he takes them and runs away from a big chain chomp.
Mario 2, Wario steals them.
Ooh. Yeah.
Now we're activating.
This is a good...
Brands.
This is a good like film concept where you've got all these little one-off promotional things that got made for various things.
Oh.
And they're in a museum and then there's like a... You know, there's some kind of like laser beam thing that brings them. They all kind of like merge together into like one.
Oh,
and
I was thinking
Indiana Jones's hat.
That's not bad. I was thinking Toy Story, where they all just come to life and have their own personalities.
The shoes are running around.
Yeah. Wait, are you thinking one guy dressed as all the the upcoming like, movie characters?
Yeah, it's like a villain that's got all the little like one-off brand activation stuff.
Right. So he's got brand like, man.
Yeah, so he's got like Ronald McDonald's gloves and then like Indiana Jones's head and then
that's
Mario's
basically
feet, then...
what when I was a kid, because you'd have like some toys, but like one you know, Sam Neill from Jurassic Park would be fighting Optimus Prime.
Yes.
And you've come up with a reason.
Yeah. I guess I'm just pitching like a, celebrity deathmatch, like, overlord character.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just, like, Ready Player One or something. Yeah,
unfortunately.
And that was great.
It's what I'm pitching.
Great, fantastic novel, best film of all time.
Yeah.
So,
I can't believe that's what Steven Spielberg's parents were like. The other little bit of news that surprised and delighted me.
Okay.
Is they're releasing...
We talked about the boots already.
They're releasing a pretty significant seeming update, and again, seemingly for free, to Ghostwire Tokyo.
Mm.
I think it ranked in all of our games of the year.
Yeah.
Tens?
Yep.
Oh, I think it would maybe an honorable, but I did love it, yeah.
It was up there.
Yeah,
it was
definitely.
A good... it was the game I played whilst having COVID.
Me too.
Right.
And I still enjoyed it.
Yep.
Very coffee game.
Mm.
Really makes you feel like shit.
Mm.
But it's
actually, I think I played God of War Ragnarok when I had COVID. Maybe that's why I didn't like it.
I think you might have been too harsh on Ragnarok.
Yeah, fuck, I gotta go back in.
Mm. But we're saying we played Ghostwire when we had COVID and it was on our end.
Oh,
and
you loved
we loved it.
That is
it,
true.
So,
but yeah. I had to go back to it. Anyway, I'm going to go back to it yet again.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff in this, but there's also
what's it
some...
called?
It's called the Spider's Thread update. And it's got... I'll tell you the things. You say what you
It's got some stuff added in there that is annoyingly stuff that's kind of spiders threaded through the main game.
Yes.
Which is always irritating. Some new little main game quest lines, some different combat stuff.
Yeah.
Some new cutscenes, which if you're coming to it now fresh, which you should... Because it's about to come out on Game Pass.
Yes.
So definitely play it if you didn't already. But yeah, it's one of those annoying ones where you feel like you've been a bit punished for being a day one-er, which
is
every developer kind of wants and needs.
Yeah, usually it's the pre-order bonus, right? This is the opposite.
I'm unclear on that part because, it does. They specifically say it's free for all players. And they say new areas, new missions, new powers, new collectibles, new enemies, new roguelite mode. And it's also coming to... Xbox and Game Pass.
Yep.
April 12th.
And it's going to be PS Plus
Extra?
It's one of the levels of PS Plus. I'm not sure which one.
One of the eight tiers.
Yeah, not just a monthly free game, though.
Right.
Yeah.
April 12th, all of this is. But I'm not sure how interwoven it is based on this thing with the main game.
The main campaign.
Or if it's just because you get... to explore after finishing the main game, or like is the thing where it saves just before the last mission and sends you back there.
Right. That new area sounds like it's just a new spot that's popped up that you can go to that'll have stuff in it. But there's there's one thing in the wording there of like new main quests or something that sounded like it was
new missions. It says, but I took that to be from this as side things. I don't know, and I don't doubt that it could be.
It could
stuff woven through, but still I'm not definitely clear from their official stuff. Saying.
But cool. Didn't expect that to get an update.
Great game.
And the roguelite mode, I assume it's kind of just like the whole city is unlocked to you and you're doing missions and you're upgrading. What upgradables were they? Your powers? I'm not even sure.
There's a fair few. You upgrade all your abilities and like, your three kind of weapons. And
I guess they're chucking in new abilities as well, so that's another thing that you can, potentially unlock and upgrade.
Yeah, not sure about that. I'd love to see more of it, and in less than a month, we'll be able to play it as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's great that it's coming to, it was already on PC, but it's coming to Game Pass and everywhere. So let's have a look. Okay, here's a longer article on Bethesda.net. Yeah. I assume they could afford to spring for the com.
Yeah.
You'd hope that this is about as in-depth as it's possible to get.
I would definitely hope so. Can you read it verbatim?
Can you get on tangogameworks.co.jp?
Oh, yeah, let's message Shinji Mikami. Is that who's head of it? Yeah.
It's all... You've got to read it in rhythm, unfortunately.
Oh,
Something different is looming in Tokyo. New otherworldly threats from the front of the war. Strange occurrences and ghostly sightings have been spotted in the city. Are you ready to dive into the unknown and save the day? I can probably skip all this stuff. Blah, blah, blah. Spider Threat Update brings multiple additions to the main game, such as more areas to explore.
Okay.
New story cutscenes, doesn't say if they take place, quality of life improvements, and more.
I wonder if that's just replacing the in-engine cutscenes that there were.
I don't think so, probably.
It would be weird to call it out. But, like, what more story is there? It was a pretty in-depth story.
Yeah. As well as an all-new Spider's Threadboy. Well, maybe this new area is. But I could also imagine it's not during that main story. It's just, like, story afterwards.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or something.
Quality of life improvements.
You're
living in Tokyo and there's ghosts everywhere.
Yeah.
I'd love my quality of life to improve.
The cost of dying over there at the moment. Whether you're a returning ghost hunter raring for more content or a newcomer first stepping into our modern day Tokyo besieged by paranormal events, blah, 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 blah.
I didn't really think of myself as a ghost hunter in that game.
Neither.
I got to be honest.
Reluctant kid pulled into another dimension.
A sister saver.
Okay, here we go. The Spider's Threat Update includes many additions to the main story campaign for Ghostwire Tokyo. Here are a few of the exciting things. Test your skill in an all-new game mode. Spider's Threat mode, separate from the main game. 30-stage gauntlet assembled from over 130 handcrafted levels.
Oh.
With one simple goal, get to the end. It sounds like, those sections of the game where you get drawn into other dimension or whatever.
Sure, going to a big building and you're going up and down the stairs and shit.
Yeah.
Your way through.
And, you go back to the start if you get beaten. Ghostwire Tokyo Spider Threat Update adds new locations to visit in the ghost-riddled streets of supernatural Tokyo, including the eerie middle school area. There's something ominous in session inside those classrooms, but for those who really don't like spooky games, the new reduced horror effects setting will replace certain psychic effects with adorable Shibuya Hachi stickers.
Okay.
That's weird and funny.
Did you just want like the walking simulator of Tokyo? It makes it a bit... That's a good idea, honestly.
Yeah.
Extended story cutscenes, granting players more character interaction and insight into the plot as they play through Akito and KK's journey to stop the menacing. So there are a lot of conversations between them that maybe I suppose they could. But yeah, it feels like, and I think you said this before we recorded, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was you.
Uh-oh, don't quote me.
I'm not gonna. That
boop.
It feels like one of those like cross generation kind of remaster things, like Death Stranding had or whatever.
Yeah, adding this kind of stuff in that threads through the main game.
It
feels like the sort of thing that this is the version of the game that comes out in 5 years' time.
What was the Death Stranding one? The director's cut.
Director's cut.
Yeah. I'm keen to play this game again from the start. You know, why not? It was fun. It wasn't ridiculously long or anything.
I'm keen to go in and I was enjoying just the like. The sort of almost walking simulator aspect of it. So I'm keen to go back in and clean up all the stuff I missed out on.
Yeah.
Like I didn't do, as with nearly every game I play, I didn't do much or any of the side stuff. So I wouldn't mind spending an afternoon trolling around.
The side stuff's great in that too. Yeah. I kind of hope I can go in and do all of that just...
stumbling across those actually, the ghost bits where they're like, hey, I need this thing. And you're like, okay, I'm going to go walk down this hallway and see if I can find the thing for them.
I don't remember if it had like a New Game Plus mode, but it would suit that because a lot of the upgrades you get are really fun to use. Right. Anyway, great game. And if this is your first time going in, fantastic that there's more stuff in it for
good
you.
Good jumping off point for you. And that roguelite mode sounds cool.
Yeah. I still haven't tried that Hitman one.
No, neither.
But I'm keen to do that. Not keen enough to have actually done it.
Yeah.
But, you know, hypothetically, theoretically, in favor of...
It's a good lesson, isn't it? We can always be keener.
Hey, the best time to start is 5 years ago. The second best time today.
Yeah.
You know what I started 5 years ago? Probably not that long. Maybe two.
Yeah.
And didn't necessarily love at the time. Have come back to and changed my tune on.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Could be anything.
Yeah.
Really could. I love hearing about a big tune change.
Yeah.
Power Wash Simulator.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right.
They put out recently a free, like we were talking about with that, a free update to the game that had some Final Fantasy VII themed stuff to clean. And it, because that game is, I don't know if it's still in early access or if it's just one of those very actively developed games where they change how it feels and how it functions and the specifics of, the problem I had with it originally is that, and call me crazy for not seeing this coming, but that it felt a little bit boring.
Uh-huh.
It took a bit too long to clean some things.
This is such a ridiculous thing to review.
But it's like, so Power Wash Simulator, if you've never heard of it, you've got a big high pressure power hose.
Yep.
And you're presented with...
a big dirty thing?
Someone's car or a playground or whatever. You've gotten a text being, can you come clean this?
Yeah.
You've got different nozzles that
this
do different...
This playground's absolutely filthy.
This playground's fucking disgusting.
It's covered in shit and piss.
Well, and it is. It's filthy.
Okay.
And you go and you clean all the components there and each of them will be different, you know, individually listed and... it's easy. You turn on your sprayer. You've got different strengths and widths and stuff.
Okay.
And it's a little confusing at first. You've got like some soaps that will clean different surfaces well.
That's confusing to you?
Not the concept.
That explains a lot.
But the implementation of them in it when I initially played it was just a little like, not well done.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
It throws too much stuff at you once and it's like, and it explains it all, but it just wasn't...
That's good. Fun to imagine the world's most disgusting man playing this game and calling up the video games helpline. Like, what the fuck is going on?
What is any of this?
What does this mean?
Yeah.
It's I can't avoid the water painting. Like I'm meant to. But so, and a lot, people have liked it more than me originally, where they're like, oh, it's satisfying. It's a good podcast game and all that sort of stuff.
Well, because you liked House Flipper, and I wouldn't have thought it was a million miles off that.
Yeah.
It really isn't. But it was the specifics of just there would be little crevices where the dirt could be that you couldn't see easily. That like felt really frustrating when something looked clean and there was one little portion that kind of wasn't, or bits you couldn't even really see at all. You can like press tab to show all the dirt in orange briefly.
Right.
But it was just annoying
in
that way. Like I was into it at first, but the bigger and bigger the things got, the more annoying those tiny pockets would become.
Right. Yep.
And they've solved that in some way. It just feels better now.
Yeah. Okay.
To my hands.
Yep. In your opinion.
Yeah. I mean, like to my eyes, to my ears, you know, but I'm interacting with this mainly hands.
Yep.
Well, this the addition of Final Fantasy VII stuff is what made me it all of a sudden jump out to me, because this sort of genre of thing, like anything sort of simulator. Just, I know it's got its fans, but just nothing that, not a format that's ever really jumped out
and this
demanded my attention. But having recognizable kind of pop culture stuff in there made me go, oh yeah, this is cool. Like if they added more sort of stuff like this, like a pack of stuff that you're familiar with that you're just kind of looking at in a physical space.
And they've got a Tomb Raider one in there already. And,
oh yeah.
I think another one, but I haven't gone in on those yet because I went back to sort of the main thing, which is this is one of the goofier types of simulators. It's not like GOAT where it's ridiculous, but...
it's not lawn mowing simulator.
No, it's having a bit of fun with it. People are texting you funny things. Like you're cleaning the old woman who lived in a shoes, big shoe house.
Oh, okay.
Like one of the kids has stolen the phone and they keep texting you like, I'm going to bash you.
Okay.
I stole my brother's yogurt. He bashed me. Stuff like that. And the whatever they've tweaked with it in the time between when I've played it has made it feel much more satisfying, and like the logic of when my brain thinks something looks clean, the game now agrees with.
Yeah, right, okay.
Can I ask, is this in VR? Follow-up question.
Not yet. Not yet, because they're... I don't know why.
Why is
they need to
this
do it?
Is, you know, a lot of people have a big issue with movement in VR.
Yeah.
Anything like this where it's like, this is just the thing is in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aiming, like, I'd love to play something like this in VR.
Brother, me too. And like... I imagine a smaller team and all that sort of thing.
So
it's probably on the cards, but just takes time.
God,
but
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I've found it fun. I've been listening to podcasts and to music and to stuff like that.
What podcasts and what music?
I went through a period, a while of like letting Linus Tech Tips videos autoplay.
Yep.
And now I know even less about computers than I did at the start because they said too many words. And I don't understand what a computer is anymore.
Me neither.
Just shit like that. And like, I've been listening to a lot of like Japanese funk.
Oh, nice.
Music.
Yeah. City pop?
Oh, baby.
Yeah, this cunny.
A lot of like YouTube uploads where they're like, you can download the FLAC files here too.
Oh, tight.
He's all the way in.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm cleaning the mayor's house at the same time. Someone's throwing eggs at it. And it's fun.
You're going to be cleaning out the light in the attic warehouse pretty soon.
Yeah.
I figured it out. The Final Fantasy stuff as well is cool. It's like... Right. Washing the bike and the truck while they're still in there. Like, it's giving you, like, a funny...
Washing out Barrett's dirty mouth.
Yeah, it gives you, like, you... It's not strict about it, but it's, like, sort of taking place right before the start of the game.
Right.
So, like, you get a message from...
They canonize it. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, like, a message from Reeves being, like, hey, we're going to have this, like, museum showcase. There's, like, a motorbike and a truck there that we want you to clean. And then it's like moves on and it's like, yeah, we've got this big map of Midgar that needs to be cleaned as well.
I just found this little blonde bastard.
Tifa sends you a message and she's like, hey, look, I know you're working for Shimmer, but they're not who you think they are.
Yeah.
And I've got this bar and some people came in and they fucked it up.
Great.
And you go there and Cloud's Buster Sword is in the corner and she's like,
that's rad.
Yeah, that's my friend's. He's fucking weird. And stuff like that.
Yep. Cool.
And then like... You're on a mission and you hear a big explosion and Reeves texts you, he's like, something's just happened, I gotta go. Stuff like it's cute. It's nice. And
that's
like
cool.
you're cleaning the recognizable stuff from the sort of Midgar part of that game.
If this just became a game as a service almost where it was like they just brought in nearly every game that exists.
Yeah.
Has like a little four things that you walk around and clean.
I want to clean Shovel Knight's armor.
Yeah, right. A free, like, once you've got, if you own the game and you finish it, then it unlocks.
Yeah.
Oh, don't give them
those
ideas.
Four little power wash.
Because this one is free. This is just a free update to the game,
right.
Which is nice. And they're chucking new stuff in there relatively regularly, I believe. So I now approve of it.
You now fully appreciate the intricacies of Power Wash Simulator.
It felt good. I think also probably like when I first played it, I was less depressed. So right. That it didn't have a feeling of like, yeah, man.
Right.
Yeah, I could do this to my soul as well.
Right. Here's a goal. Here's an achievable goal that I can work through.
The little dings are great. Also, I turned the volume of the water down.
Oh, yeah.
Which really helps.
Okay.
Do that.
All right.
Because your water is on all the time. There's a few little tricks like that too. Let me tell you. These are the Power Wash Simulator tricks that will make it a better game for
anyone. Adam's wash tips.
Yeah, for like anyone that's like tried it and didn't get on with it.
Yeah.
Right.
He's the Knox method.
You can right click or there is a button on the controller that will leave the water on.
Oh, yes.
Don't hold the thing down.
Right.
And do it in spurts unless you're using a soap and they're limited. Hold the water, just toggle
water
it
limit?
On. Infinite water.
Infinite water.
Like
beautiful.
In real life.
Yeah.
Do you not think if you were using a controller and let's say you're using like the haptic triggers on the DualSense, that might feel kind of nice?
Because you're washing all the time.
Okay.
Right.
Just toggle it on. Yep. And then the second thing is there is a button to release the... Where the washer is aiming, you move that with the mouse and your view stays solid. So you're not like looking around first person shooter washing. Do that.
Right.
Okay.
It feels much better. You'll love it.
Okay.
All right.
I guarantee.
And turn the water noise down.
turn the water noise way down.
All right.
Because otherwise the game is just white noise simulation.
Right, I was going to say, yeah.
All the time.
Right. Yep, yep.
And put on InfoWars in the background, and that's how you ended up enjoying it.
So yeah, Power Wash Simulator is okay.
Yeah,
I want to see them do heaps of the. I want to clean Mario's shoes. I want a ton of collaborations coming in there because the Final Fantasy VII stuff was really well done and nice looking models and getting up close to the fucking Airbuster and giving it a wash.
Right,
yeah, that's
feels
cool.
Nice.
It's a strange first game.
Tomb Raider, they already did.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, which is also a strange first game.
Yeah,
because it's like cleaning Lara Croft's mansion from Tomb Raider 3 or whatever. Like,
surely you're thinking like Gran Turismo, you know, like, or even, you know, whatever, Forza, like something with like recognizable big vehicles and shit.
Or I guess something with fictional cars so you don't have to worry about licensing stuff. But
yeah,
there's a ton of options. For them,
hey,
but that's not for me to decide.
That's you're not wrong though.
Hopefully, that this. I mean, yeah, just the way you're
Pokemon.
Describing,
let me clean off a fucking Snorlax, dude.
Yeah, the way you were describing, like a the like leaving the water on and all that. I'm just picturing like doing that in VR with a little move controller thing.
Yeah,
like, oh, it'd be great.
Give us that.
Yeah,
it'd feel so good crouching down to get underneath a plane.
Mm. Oh my god,
the dream.
I've been doing some crouching down and some VR lately.
Okay,
I've been playing. I think the latest release for Beat Saber, the latest mixtape, and I've also been playing some of the older ones too. And I tell you what, it's still, in my opinion, the best VR game aside from Half-Life Alyx.
Yeah, right.
There's two ones that are, in my opinion, the only must-plays of VR, and Beat Saber is one of them. It's great for actual exercise. The Oculus, you have a little option to turn on the like move tracker. And so anytime you just like look down at the ground, it will tell you how many calories you've burnt in that session, how many minutes of moving total you've done.
And that's an Oculus thing, not a Beat Saber thing.
I believe that's an Oculus thing. Right, right. Yeah. Because you know, you can...
Or a Meta Quest thing.
Yes.
I will never... It's like Safeway. When Safeway turned to Woolworths, I said Safeway for 10 more years.
Yeah.
People...
To be cool.
If people don't know what I mean by Oculus... I'm very sorry. I'll take that on board. But yeah, they've released a rock playlist, which is something I've been gagging for. You know, that like dubstep electronic music that was the Beat Saber like originally produced stuff, I think fit the aesthetic and fit the idea of, you know, movement and the sort of, you know, swinging your lightsabers around and stuff.
Yeah.
It was very, made a lot of sense. It was a tight fit. But as they introduced more pop music... I think whoever their developers who are developing like the levels, you know, were like, oh yeah, we've figured out how to do this with just any kind of music.
They've started putting more and more in the last like few months. I feel like every month or so at the moment, there's an update on their Instagram. Cause for a long time, that was my big complaint about it. They did like a Skrillex pack, which is like, okay, some licensed stuff in here, but not really to my taste. And then there was like, I think a Fallout Boy and a Green Day one. There's just this like
Linkin
weird...
Park.
Lady Gaga, Linkin Park, Billie Eilish.
Yes.
A lot of individual artists, which also like, cool if you like that artist.
Absolutely.
But often it's like, I would play one Lady Gaga song in a pack of 12 that I bought. I'm not going to buy a Backstreet Boys pack and
Yes.
So this is the solution I wanted to...
Well, then they had the Interscope pack, which
Interscope
was just,
pack was great.
It was good. But I mean, yeah, they... It was very like genre based, where it was like weird emo stuff, weird dubstep stuff, and they have gotten a little better. Like, there's a Lizzo pack on there, there's a BTS pack on there, there's a Billie Eilish. So there now is a lot more different stuff to a lot more different tastes, instead of it just being like, very much in this one kind of box.
But
this grab bag they've done now, the rock playlist, which is the one you've been playing.
Yeah,
that's the shit that. Like, it makes a logical sense why they wouldn't go to that straight away, because you're coordinating with 12 record labels potentially rather than just Lady Gaga's people or whatever. So totally makes sense, but it's... How many songs is it?
It'd be like eight or 10 around that. It's like Born to Be Wild, The Pretender.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your Sweet Child of Mine.
Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger. What else have you got?
There's, I think, some Foo Fighters in there, one of their songs.
I Was Made for Loving You, I think.
Okay.
Freebird?
Freebird's in there.
Okay.
Great. Probably my favorite one. It's like 8 minutes 50.
Yeah.
Sick.
It is...
Guitar Hero 2 rules. Anything that would have been good in Guitar Hero 2,
yes,
put into Beat Saber.
And it feels like Drum Hero almost, you know? Right. Like, and it makes so much sense. I guess, yeah, you're right. Like, it made more sense to maybe do... pop artists or electronic artists initially, but this feels like Drum Hero to me, and I've been really, really enjoying it. I also think that the electronica mixtape,
right?
It's just again more popular songs that I'm aware of, like the Freestyler by Bomb Funk MCs is on it.
Great song.
Rockefeller Skank.
My dog that has a face loves that song.
Then there's a few others as well, like Witchcraft by Pendulum, I think, is on that.
Yep.
Again, these are just songs that are both good to listen to. And
I'm thinking of Where's Your Head At? Sorry. That was the song that had the dogs with the faces.
By... Who's
Basement
that by?
Jacks.
Basement Jacks.
Yeah, Freestyle is the kid on the train.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I fucked it.
Freestyler.
But just the fact that there was, like... They early on in the game, those new little packs that I was talking about before, they were, I thought the genres of them were a little odd and or just sort of not really to my taste, I should say.
Yeah.
And they also were taking ages between each one, and also the game had been out for a while by this point, so it sort of seemed like, oh, they're just never going to get to a point for whatever reason where they're just going for it with the songs. And now they are. Now they're like, for whatever reason, they just must... then must have been enough of an uptake of MetaQuests and the game has enough of an install base where it's like, we chuck six Lady Gaga songs on there. They cost $8. Yep. People are going to get them.
It's not on PSVR 2 yet, I believe, but it's coming to that soon, Beat Saber, which it should be on everything. And the other ones that we haven't, Sweet Child of Mine, Smells Like Teen Spirit, Seven Nation Army.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
cool.
It's interesting that, like on the Steam page for the rock mixtape, only $16 too, which honestly, that's not nothing, but for 8 songs, $2 a song, it's currently 30% off, but still.
And it just expands your usage of the game so much. Like this, I haven't gotten around to this
one yet.
That's
how much they used to cost.
Yeah.
Like
a CD
15 years ago, 18 years ago on like iTunes as well to buy a single.
Totally.
This is the best kind of DLC because it's like, you go through them all once, you have your little try of all of them, and then it just reminds you like, oh, yeah, that's right. I haven't played any of these other ones that I've got for A. I'll do a Lizzo one while I'm here.
Exactly.
Do a BTS one while I'm here.
And you can make your own playlists to just, like, you know, continuously go through. Like, I use it as a workout thing. So it's like, great, I've got this song that's, like, this length, you know, this one that's a bit shorter, but the, you know, the level design is, like, very intense on your hamstrings, you know. Like, the Eye of the Tiger one is actually made really well to be a workout. Like, it is quite intense. There's a lot of like ducking and weaving, and it's very much like you're fucking Rocky.
That's cool.
Having a bit of a punch.
And they change a lot of the like visuals and the layouts and stuff too for most of these. They've got their own kind of visual identity beyond just the blocks coming at you. Like the Lizzo one's got like a crazy kind of stage setup and all this kind of stuff.
I think the Indoscope one has like... Oh, and I was like playing one of the tracks on it. I was like, was this released for like a Fast and the Furious tie-in? Because there's like hot rods like revving on the sides.
Yeah.
But all of that stuff's really like fun, and it's weirdly one of the few things that I'm like that I do where I'm like, oh, this is kind of what I envisioned the future being. You know, like doing your little workout in VR it's just like never boring, which is why I always fail to get into workout habits. Is like I'm just like, you know, start going for a run and I'm like, I'm so bored. It's like it's a challenge in a psychological mental reaction time way, as well as, you know, I do it for like 20 minutes a day and I'm you burn calories. It's really good for it.
Beat Saber's like the default thing to show someone VR. I think anyone who's not, especially even if they don't game at all, it's like you chuck that on and it's like, it's all there immediately. Yeah. You don't need to bring anything to it in terms of like knowing anything about gameplay. It's like, it's like a rhythm.
Chuck it on easy mode.
Things come at you.
It's like, the like Mario Kart of, well, it's even like, it's the Tetris of VR.
Yeah.
You know?
And Guitar Hero, everyone was able to pick up pretty easily.
Exactly,
I brought it around to a friend's house who was having people around for drinks to just kind of, like just after I'd gotten it. I was like, you guys are like, this is kind of a fun thing. And then our friend Anna was the first person to have a go and didn't let it up for the entire night. She's just in the corner of the party by herself and then came over to me. She's like, the battery's gone flat. I'm like, yeah, I charged it before I came here.
Fuck. Big game around her. She's a big Fire Emblem fan.
She
just
is.
Chatting to her about that when came out. Yeah.
She's deep into Fire Emblem Engage at the moment. Her housemates went to Golden Plains over the weekend.
Yes.
So she was just up on the big screen.
Oh.
Just gaming away.
I wish I had time or not enough new games coming out to finish that game.
I did think that last night. I gotta. I'm getting to a point where I'm like, I'm just out of it enough that I know that my first dip back in is going to be like, now wait, which was the character that could do this little thing again?
Yeah. Too bad, because one of the other great VR games was Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
The remake of that is a week away, roughly.
Yeah.
And
it's actually 8 days away at the moment as we're recording.
Well, actually, according to the Beatles, that is a week, so... but they put out a demo of it on, I believe, every platform that that's going to be on.
Yes.
The chainsaw demo.
Yeah. I was playing through this thing thinking, where the hell's the chainsaw?
Oh, it shows up.
It shows up, though.
I held off.
I don't like a demo.
You haven't gone in?
I like a demo where you're doing the first, you know, couple of hours of the game and then it's carrying your progress over.
Right.
I'm getting this. I'm going in on this. I don't need to, you know.
And it's only the first 10 minutes or whatever. It's like everything
it's
up until that
short,
village.
It's very short,
isn't it? Very short. But, you know, it shows you exactly what that game is.
Yes.
And that game has a good intro where it shows you what the game is.
That's very true.
If you've played Resident Evil 4, it's up until he says, where's everyone going? Bingo. It's that portion. But it's a cool... So I played it on the PS5.
Yes.
In the, like, performance mode, which looked weirdly fuzzy to me.
Oh, I don't know. Was that default? I probably played it the same.
Right. It looked just like the resolution was a little weird looking. It was kind of fuzzy.
Yeah.
Not terrible looking.
Yeah.
The game looks nice, but I was a little surprised by that on a PS5. But whatever.
Yeah. I think I'd just been playing Like a Dragon Ishin, which I also noticed looked worse than I remembered because I hadn't played it for a while. Mm. So I don't know. Maybe it looked Resident Evil 4 looked better. To me, it didn't stand out as being fuzzy, but
Ishin weirdly doesn't have any options for performance or fidelity, which is strange.
I think the textures are really low resolution anyway, so
yeah.
I mean it's a
PS4 game, right?
Yeah.
But
I was gonna say it also didn't stand out as being particularly like amazing visual.
I think in comparison to especially Resident Evil 2 when that first came out,
right.
The remake of that looked like noticeably awesome.
And I played that recently, and it did look awesome. And I don't think maybe it's that it's this does not look like a leap forward beyond that.
I guess so. Yeah, and it is still coming out on like Xbox One and PS4 and everything, so it is. Another one of these kind of, I guess it's basically a last-gen game in a lot of ways. But that being said, it's cool. It feels good. It's interesting to see the level of difference between this and original Resident Evil 4. It's a weird, like, half and half where it's like the house at the initial bit is very different. And then the village is basically exactly the same in layout and everything.
Yeah.
But it feels, and this is probably the most important thing for, I imagine a lot of people have played Resident Evil 4 at this point. It's been re-released on so many things. It feels different enough that it feels like a separate game.
Right.
In a good way.
Yeah, so like it even felt, different to the 2 and 3, which I played like so recently. Just even because the style of the UI and all of that is still relatively similar, but then just, the inventory looks like it's been redesigned in a cool new way. Like it's a little bit fresher. It's a little bit newer.
Yeah. And it's the same like suitcase sort of layout thing. But yeah, it does look like everything looks quite smooth and the game is moving quickly.
Yes.
Especially the combat in 2 and 3 was more like the original Resident Evil 4, that it was like a little slower, chunky, deliberate sort of like you better make this shot count.
Yes.
Well, the original 4, when you were shooting, you were anchored. You couldn't and gun. So
which wasn't.
I think that's been the main thing that people have wanted it to have sort of thought this remake should probably exist for, because everything else about it is so modern feeling. But that's the main thing that you always hear people try and go back to it of like, God damn it, it is really hard to get on with the like having to like hold the trigger and then stop and then aim around.
Right.
And at the time, that was so cool. And I still like it because I have that attachment to that original one where like it just gives you this... Because they designed all of the enemies around that mechanic,
right.
Everything is moving at enough of a pace where you're feeling pressured, but because like the feeling of like, fuck, I'm stuck here and these things are coming at me.
Right.
I better shoot. Like, it's...
You're always like backed into a corner, basically.
Right. But this is a lot more frantic where you are zipping around this town, taking shots. The aim is not forgiving. You've really got to aim well. It's not like doing much auto adjustments for you.
Yep.
So, and your ammo is relatively limited, but you're sprinting around the fucking place, dodging all these millions of bloody blokes after you.
It did feel a lot more like those 2 and 3 remakes.
Because
it was the same. You can move around. You did slow down a lot when you were like iron sights, you know, aiming. But really felt, it's going to feel for someone who's like me, I guess, relatively new to this series.
Mm.
Like they're all of a piece, you know. These are all very similar in presentation and gameplay now,
right?
And which is a very, very high level, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I had a great time with it. I think I'd basically played the same bit, maybe just beyond in the VR mode.
Yeah.
In the VR game, I should say. So it was very familiar to me still, and I guess it was like the bit I could make a comparison with.
Right.
It's so fun. It's, I also liked, I think, just like the, did it always have the glowing sort of column of light above the pickups?
Yeah.
Mm.
I guess that was in maybe 2 and 3 remake.
It's crazy how much stuff from games that are of this similar type of third person action thing still carry over things from the original Resident Evil 4 and how invented for that they were.
Right.
A lot of things. Like, it was a really influential game that. It's odd for this remake because stuff hasn't progressed as severely or as massively from like when 2 and 3 first came out.
Right. Mm.
But a lot of that stuff is that sort of like how like dynamic everything feels, where like it's this constantly shifting field of battle and you've got to be creative with how you're addressing all of these situations you're quickly getting yourself into.
Yep.
And then like, you know, I set the fucking, there's a cow in a barn. I set it on fire. It was running around the place.
Hell yeah.
Trampling guys, setting them on fire. Like that sort of just like, reactive and creative feeling gameplay is really engaging.
Was there also stealth kills in the original? Because that felt cool in this. Because it's not in the 2 and 3 remakes. And I didn't remember it from like the VR game either. And that really appealed to me as like a gameplay style. Personally, when I do play these kind of games or just like, third person action games, if there's a stealth option, if I can run around and take out at least a few people before I have to start, you know, running and gunning, getting myself backed into corners, I'm going to take it.
It's satisfying, especially in a game like this where you've got, the whole point of it is you've got limited ammo and resources.
Yes.
Similar to a Last of Us. It's just a no-brainer to have an option where you can easily take someone out and not have lost a bullet.
And it didn't feel like... They were like, well, Far Cry got big in the meantime, so I guess we got to do, like...
Yeah.
It weirdly, because they brought Resident Evil 2 up to how Resident Evil 4 felt, sort of, this feels like how 2 to 4 felt, where you're playing as Leon Kennedy again, but this time he's like a special ops agent, basically.
Right.
He's like had a lot of training since the Raccoon City stuff, so it felt like that same jump up and like, oh, this guy's capable now.
Yeah, right.
Funnily enough, there's stealth kills in Hogwarts Legacy.
Fuck
and I got to see my girlfriend have this same experience of playing through, and she's like, wait, so what happens here? I'm like, well, if you're invisible and you go up behind this person and you just push this button, you just take him out immediately. And she's
no
like,
no one ever knows.
Oh my God.
Why like, wouldn't you just do that all the
she's
time?
She's like, this is all I want to do now. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's tricky to do, but it feels a million times better than just wiping someone out with, 100 bits of ammo or whatever.
We'll talk a lot more about Resident Evil 4 in a couple of weeks, I guess, because it'll be out.
Do you remember with the stealth kills if it wore down your knife?
The knife degradation stuff is new for this too. You just had an infinite knife you could whip out at any time.
Yeah, yeah.
That it, wasn't as effective as the knife in this game is.
Yeah, because you also, they encourage you early on to be like, yeah, you should like start slashing at people, which, yeah, it was always a last resort in other games like this.
And if you get like grabbed, I think you can, kind of Last of Us style, stick a knife in him. And...
Oh, yeah.
That was also, I think, in 2 and 3.
Right. Did
2 and 3 have the inventory management of like the very literal, you've got your, you've got your bag and you've got to like swivel things around to... Because did they have them in the original? Or did they?
They were a thing for the whole.
I saw on Steam. There's a. I've been meaning to try this. There's a. Someone made a game that is just the inventory management briefcase. It's a puzzle game. So it's like, here's your 10 items, and you gotta move you. But like,
fuck, I never
would
go
think
that.
On paper, you would think that would be so tedious. But I remember that being one of my favorite parts of the original 4. Of just like, I know I can get this goddamn herb in here somehow. I just have to, like, I can get the little shotgun in
here. It is weird. Having to make those choices as you get further and further into the game is, like, and you can store some of your weapons or sell them to, like, you don't get up to the salesman guy here.
What are you selling?
That's another thing, is that all of the voices of the villagers sound great. They're obviously redone, but they're still the same sort of, like, oh, you fucking
Those are
guy.
All iconic.
Whatever
like,
it
they're
is.
They're smart
in
about
the
these things
Spanish.
Where they would know that they can't fuck around with that too
but
much.
But didn't they, haven't they changed? Change the merchant? I swear that I read that.
I think the merchant's voice has changed a bit, but he's doing a similar...
If he's doing the same lines, that's cool. But I thought I read maybe that they altered that a bit.
And he chucks out a where's everyone going bingo and the lame stuff. Like, I'm very keen to play this game in a couple of weeks. There will be a VR mode on the PSVR 2.
Will there really?
Ooh.
Down the line.
Forthcoming.
Right.
That is kind of the annoying thing. I was loving playing that VR version of, I guess, essentially the original one on the Oculus. But just kind of knowing that this was coming down the pipeline, I got pretty deep into it, but just knowing like, I'm going to be interacting with this game again in a more souped-up mode in like a year's time or so anyway. Like, I don't really want to commit all the time to doing all of this, as cool as it is. Like, it was so... God, it felt good in VR. So I can only imagine with the improved visuals and the improved headset and everything.
Yeah.
That'll be
a... And it's a pretty, like... replayable game.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
But there is like a new game plus mode in it too that you can go back through with all the big fucking weapons you've gotten and everything.
Yes.
By the, so the other thing is there's been some copies get out there now and I've seen differing, of course they're differing if they're different reports on...
Does differing just mean the same? Is it like a...
Right, it's a double negative.
Yeah, it's double
negative. I think it makes them... It's a double positive. They're super different.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Here's what it is. Dumb as hell to say. I've seen various reports of different things that are either not in the game or a change in this way. It's hard to get a read on that sort of comparison to the original stuff because there were some like... bonus modes that were added in later versions that may or may not be in there, but then may come down the line. Who knows? We'll see in a couple of weeks.
I mean, it is a tough, it's a big task for them because this is one of the most critically well-regarded and beloved games of all time. Mm. And you're not just doing an up-res, it's like and also the quality of the last two remakes they've done has been so high.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This seems to be hitting that same bar.
Totally.
From this first 10, 15 minutes, but like, I'm very confident in the full thing, but we'll report back.
Yeah.
Oh, so you can do big kicks.
Yeah, they were in the first. The big kicks looked a little more athletic in the first game, like more ninja-y in the. But it still looks pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. For me, as someone who's basically playing through this franchise for the first time. They weren't in 3.
No. I'm glad that tone difference is still kind of there because this was like a bit of a sillier, funner kind of vibe, the more action-y. And it's so much about crowd control in a different way than those first ones where when you give someone that kick, it knocks the people behind them over too. Like,
right. Oh,
so good.
I can't wait to play more of this fucking game,
me too.
Dude. Get the fuck out of my house and let me go try and find one of these early copies.
It was giving me, like a Dragon-ishian vibe. So, I went back in on that as well. And I think, took to it a bit more than I did the first time. When we reviewed it, we were like both really positive on it, Tommy. But I think it didn't really hook me in a big way, knowing it's like a fairly long game.
Mm. And we were talking about
there
this
were so
last
many
night.
Other games, yeah.
Yeah, everything about it was very good. But I kind of had the same thing of like, I could feel myself drifting from it. And then remembering that like, These games, they just do take about goddamn 5 hours to sort of really get you up to speed in this. Like, I'm on chapter 3.
Right.
And I'm still only just feeling like the story's starting to get going 7 hours in. Because so much of it is just watching a little movie, basically.
Well, and just proportionally, that's not that long for...
Yeah, for, this, for these games, yeah.
Yeah,
they really do take a long time to... Because, yeah, I felt the same way about Like a Dragon. I was like, oh, this is kind of fine. And then at the point where it really let me go, I was like, wow, I've been playing a different game for 6 or 7 hours.
Totally, that's it. Yeah, there's like the story set up in this. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, this is the story. And then I'm only in chapter 2 and it's like, it's all changed.
Yep.
And then it sounds like it'll continue to pull the rug out from under you, which is a big thing of the franchise. Like the stories are so twisty and turny and melodramatic.
I'm just sort of up to the bit now where it's starting to be like, okay, this is what we're actually...
You're settling doing. Into.
That said, yeah. I'm talking about going to that bit. I'm not at that bit yet.
I've got it right here and I haven't even fucking touched it. I'm sitting on my desk.
Speaking of things that are out very soon that there's a demo of, I played the demo of Bayonetta Origins.
Oh.
Sarita and the Lost Demon.
I think it's the other way around. I think it might be Sarita and the Lost Demon.
Right.
: Bayonetta Origins, but I could be wrong.
Ooh, well,
this conversation is evidence of the fact that this game is probably not going to sell well. It's got a very confusing identity and title and sort of everything about it. So it is a smart move that they put a demo out. It's one of those ones where, like I was saying before, it's the first couple of chapters.
Tommy was right, by the way.
Let me double check that. It looks like...
It's been double-checked.
Yeah.
No, I'm
this
checking.
This is a different situation.
No, according to me, I was right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at... Don't look at my phone, but I'm looking at it right here.
Oh, okay. It's, it's first two chapters of the game.
On what? What platform is the demo at? Everything?
It's just on the Switch.
Oh,
that's the only thing the game's coming to, I think.
Yep.
Oh,
so okay. This is it's a Bayonetta prequel.
Same as 3.
Oh, yucky.
It's a Bayonetta prequel, you know, you're playing as a young version of Bayonetta, but everything else about it is like pretty standalone. It doesn't really have much in common in terms of like the gameplay or anything like that.
Mm.
It's got like a very nice painterly storybook kind of look. The setup of it is a little tedious to get going with. It's very like slow walk.
Right.
Tutorial is just literally teaching you how to just move from A to B.
Okay.
But done in a sort of like child's storybook kind of thing about how Bayonetta was, who her parents were and how she was born and sort of locked away and all this kind of stuff.
Okay. Is that any story? Do we know that from the other games? Or
Bayonetta's origins?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's been some
bits and bobs.
Yeah.
I think it's peppered through a little bit.
As the Bayonetta lore expert on the podcast, it's been a focus of some
as
of
the
it.
Bayonetta lore expert, she has big bobs.
So it's very, it's given that it's like presented as like a storybook fairy tale-y kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's quite twee in its setup, and its first maybe like 45 minutes is just, especially for a demo, like it's, you know, you just feel how drawn out it is where you're like,
right,
I'm just getting this to get a bit of a... I mean, this is the sort of the other side of the coin of, like I'm saying, the style of demo that I prefer where it carries over. It's like, I want to get a taste.
Yeah.
Like, is this worth my time or not? But pretty quickly, like once you get through that, then you're in the game and then it's just, you're just doing it. There's like, once it introduces what the game actually is.
So what is the game?
Well, this is the thing is, like, from everything we've seen of it, it was really hard to tell what it actually is.
Yeah.
Top down seemed like a sort of action-y type of thing. Like, it reminded me, from looking at it, and you tell me how wrong I am, did you ever play Bastion?
No.
Mate, okay. Like
Tunic?
Tunic-y? Like that.
Slightly. Yeah, it's top-down. It's you are controlling two characters at once. Whew. You're controlling Bayonetta and you're controlling Cheshire, the big cat thing from Bayonetta 3.
Yes.
And you are doing a lot of, it's a puzzle platformer. You're doing a lot of environmental platforming puzzle stuff where Bayonetta's over here. She can do her little spells that'll make a little
nothing
seed.
Nothing like what I thought it was.
Yeah.
A little seed grow up into a, you know, a vine that she can then climb up.
Yep.
Cheshire is handling like the attacks and all that sort of stuff. When you're in combat, Bayonetta's doing her little thing that stuns the enemies and Cheshire's going and handling the attacking. So you kind of, you're using the left stick to move Bayonetta. You're using the right stick to move the cat.
It's like there was a game called Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, and I think you did that in that.
Right, you definitely rang a bell of, this, especially with puzzle stuff, right? Yeah,
it's like the Lost Vikings or something back in the day, kind
of.
Yeah,
too,
yeah. Where you like, at the same time.
And you can recall the cat back into, you can just have them merge into one, so... It's got a very funny thing
back
where...
Back into the Pokeball.
Yeah, it's a little doll that's come to life, so you put it back into hug mode, and then it's Bayonetta walking around with her little toy, and then when you want to send him out, you push the R trigger and he goes out, and then you're controlling them separately.
They should make a VR version of hug mode.
Oh, yeah.
I could use that.
But, yeah, it's those simplistic sort of... There's little environmental things that the cat can't go past, even when it is in hug mode, so you need to... You know, park him there, send Bayonetta around, find an alternate, path where she's then using her spell to make a bridge appear. And it's all that sort of stuff that feels very satisfying, clever little environmental puzzles.
Okay.
And just a really nice painterly sort of art style.
Right.
It's funny to me that in this year... Last year of every Switch release was just played with like, hey, really fun game, but it's struggling to run.
Yeah, yeah.
This year, everything they've put out, mostly because they've just been staying in their lane a little bit more. It's like, looks great, runs really well, no issues with it. Like it, I don't know, it's cool.
You've
that
got
they're...
until when Zelda comes out.
Yeah.
I know,
keep feeling that.
But everything's been, Metroid Prime looked great, Fire Emblem looks great. Like
Kirby.
Kirby looks and runs really well. They've just, this year's a little more so far, they're just not trying to do anything too... Ambition, yeah, so far. But
This sounds like single player It Takes Two, right?
Right.
It is a little bit. And it's
single
kind
player
of,
co-op.
Yeah, and it's a really weird one. It's cool that it exists. It's cool that they chose to make it a Bayonetta origin spin-off thing. They could have made it really anything with its own identity, and I feel like this is one that's gonna fly under the radar for a lot of people because Bayonetta's already a semi-niche franchise, and this is also, then it's like so muddied in the like...
A weird pivot.
Yeah, and the art direction of it's a bit like, is one of those things that is a bit, it doesn't, it looks nice when you're playing it, but it doesn't really like leap off the shelf, even just in terms of the box art and everything. Like, they may have been better to just pitch this as its own thing.
And they've done a terrible job explaining what this is.
Yeah.
Because like I think probably the reason I assumed it was an action game like Bastion is because it's a Bayonetta game.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's
pretty reasonable. I also had no idea.
It does have a lot
of... This sounds cool.
It does have combat in it, for sure. And the combat is fun and cool and everything. But it is a lot of like, walking through this like really nicely rendered forest. Like the whole thing of it being, it's a fixed camera the whole time, so they're able to just like make this environment look how they want it to look without having to worry about how the camera's going to like move around it and everything.
Right.
It looks great. It really, I just thought, the demo's up, see what this is about. I didn't have the highest hopes for it, again, because of all the, what they've shown is a bit like, what is this?
Yeah.
But it really hooked me in. It was one of those, I got to the end of the demo and was immediately like, oh, damn, I just want to keep going. Like I want to do the next level.
Good news. Yeah. You can. Yeah. Tomorrow.
Well, now I can, but a week and a half ago, that felt like eternity.
It sounds like we'll be talking about that next week. Sarasa and Bayonetta Origins, The Lost Demon is the correct way. Bayonetta Origins, Sarasa and The Lost Demon. I'll admit it.
It's very big of you.
It's a bit of a Pokemon Legends Arceus where it's like, unless you know that you're going to now be making a billion other Bayonetta Origins games.
Right.
Why not just call it Bayonetta Origins or...
I guess
like,
yeah, Bayonetta colon Origins would have been fine. Yeah.
I also just hate the word Origins.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
true.
Like being in anything, but...
Yeah. Bayonetta Vengeance.
Bayonetta and the
Bayonetta
Lost
Rising.
Yes.
And I loved that little cat guy in the in Bayonetta 3. So, when this was announced, I was like, oh, cool, your psycho little cat thing. And it will, I reckon... Get the demo and,
It's also weird that you're Bayonetta and not Viola, who had the cat thing in Bayonetta.
It
took me ages to realize that you are Bayonetta because she's not referred to as Bayonetta.
She's Sarasa, which is Sarasa. When she was a kid, that's her real name.
Oh.
And
she's lost her memory in the first one. Listen, I've got a lore book I'm working on.
And she's a little kid. She's very, like, meek and, like, it is very, like, little kid lost in a big forest with her little... with her little stuffed animal right. that's like protecting her and keeping her safe.
Did she wear glasses?
Cool. Yeah, she
I think
would.
She's got the glasses. Okay. Yeah.
You get turned into the little kid in Bayonetta 3 sometimes if like fuck up those time puzzle things.
Oh, yeah.
Or like when you're in those. And the kid Bayonetta was even in Bayonetta 1 because it's like a time travel thing.
Right,
right.
We've met Kid Bayonetta plenty of times. Or Saracer, I'm sorry. But yeah, like that, I guess the reason Viola has the cat is because it used to be Bayonetta. I'll go listen. Yeah. I'll go
I think okay. I think this is one that, yeah, really easily could fly under the radar. If you've not engaged with a Bayonetta before, I don't think that's, you know, obviously it's prequel, so you're getting bits of lore and everything, but I think you could go into this completely fresh if you like puzzle platformery kind of games.
Right.
Try out the demo that gives you the first couple of levels, gives you a bit of a taste of the mechanics and what you're doing, and yeah, I think it's really worth checking out.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, that's probably us for a fucking week then.
Yeah, okay.
That's us bloody well done for another week. We'll be back, big couple of weeks coming up.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us. filthycasuals.com.au for the links to everything that we have going on.
If you want to hear about Diablo 4, tune in next week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll be playing the, like, what is it, open, closed beta?
Early access, closed beta.
Early access, closed beta.
Yes.
Over the weekend.
I'm curious. That was, you know, that's on our most anticipated list. Curious to see if it's good or more of the same or bad or what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and Saracer, it sounds like, will be...
That's an episode of a podcast, if ever I've heard
Come
one.
Come back in a week and probably a few surprises along the way.
Head over to Clicker I Barely Know Her. We've wrapped up the entire season of Last of Us, the TV show. We all really enjoyed it.
Yes.
We've got our thoughts on every episode along the way, and we're doing one more next week of kind of wrapping up listener mailbag kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And overall thoughts on the season. But check that out if you've been watching and enjoying that show.
Yeah, if you're someone who waited to the end to binge it quickly and then get some emails across to us.
Binge our show.
Yeah.
We've got
good show.
Yeah, really good show.
Yeah.
We've got the Patreon, patreon.com/filthycasuals. Where you can support the show, get a bonus episode every week.
Yeah, we just did a big Oscar wrap-up.
Yeah.
We recorded like right after the Oscars finished, so we kind of go through basically every major movie that's nominated.
I think
nominated.
Every category.
I think every category.
Pretty
so,
much.
Yeah.
Come time. And see me in Melbourne at the Comedy Festival, for God's sakes.
Please.
March 29 until April 9. 7:30 p.m. at the Cooper's Inn.
And you can come see
.com.au. And
all three of us.
Yes.
Yeah. Our live show, April the 2nd, 3:40 p.m. at Comedy Republic.
We'll be horsing around up there doing some silly japes.
Not on my watch.
Just a serious
journalism
podcast.
Yep.
Here are the ins and outs of the Activision Microsoft merger.
And you can read your Bayonetta Bible to the audience. Oh.
It's not for other people's eyes.
What if our live show was us doing like 12 Angry Men, but we're like deliberating the Activision? Oh.
We're not doing that.
The jurors in the Activision dispute.
For everyone listening, we're not doing that. You can come.
I just don't believe that it wouldn't be a monopoly. We're staying here until you can. Yeah.
I was going to say you can come if you're not in Melbourne. You can watch if you're not in Melbourne. There are slightly cheaper tickets available for streaming.
Yep.
You can watch it live streaming, or you can watch it within the next sort of 24 to 48 hours if the time zone's weird. So yeah, please do. Partake in that live show. They're always really fun and kind of a bit different to what we usually do.
There should be a link in the description. I think at some point the link we've had went non-functional and the link changed, and so I think someone maybe messaged us about that.
I think the link just goes to the Comedy Republic list of events rather than our show.
Right.
Which I don't understand why.
Okay.
But it's there. Just scroll up to April 2 and our show is right there.
We'll have a relevant link. I'll try and maybe see if we can get
it. We'll have an irrelevant link.
A relevant.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Saracer Origins :
And we'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Power Wash Simulator, listen to me. Please give me an update where I can wash Tifa, please. Give me an update where I can just wash Tifa, please.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.